All right, well, I'm just going to press ahead, and they are trying to accommodate me, so it's not their fault. It's just that I like using this little clicker to be able to advance. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That does speak about the ministry of prophecy. And so we're just going to dig in, and we may or may not have a PowerPoint, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to read from verse number 1. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. And the scripture says, follow after love, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but above all that you may prophesy. So scripture tells us right from the start, it's okay to desire spiritual gifts, and in particular, pursue love. This is a little different translation, but this way we can all be on the same page. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So it's good, it's appropriate, we are encouraged to ask for and to desire spiritual gifts. As it's not prideful, it's what Scripture tells us to do. And we should desire to prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands, but his spirit speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So it's good and appropriate for you to speak in an unknown tongue, to speak in tongues, because that builds you up. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend that you speak in tongues every day. Okay? If it makes you nervous, you can do it in the shower. All right? But you really need that. And in particular, when you're going through a real challenge time in your life, speak in tongues. All right? Get alone. If you're at work, go to the bathroom, whatever. Speak in tongues because it builds you up. But it goes on to say, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. That's the difference. And then verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 14 says, for you all can prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all may be exerted. For you all can prophesy. Say to your neighbor, you can prophesy. Because you're part of the all. That's right. So understand that while Brother Bill Johnson, who's coming later this week, he is a prophet, okay, which is something on a higher level, and as a result, the ministry that we will receive will be a higher level of ministry unto the Lord, and we'll get into that a little bit farther. Now, what does Scripture tell us that we should expect from New Testament prophecy? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 3, the one who prophesies speaks for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, edification, let's get an understanding, means to build up. It's a construction word referring to constructing some kind of building. So the first purpose of prophecy is to build people up. How many would love to build people up? How many could use some building up? All right, so that's good. All right. Secondly, exhortation means to strengthen, means to encourage, and means to call to the side of. All right. Now, look at that. Look at that little word in parentheses. That's the original Greek word, and it's very, very close to the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, which is Parakletos. Okay, so The second purpose of prophecy is to strengthen and to encourage people by calling them to walk, to be alongside of God. And then thirdly, comfort, which means to give strength and hope to ease the grief or the trouble of someone, has the idea of comforting through the most severe experiences of life, for example, through death. Now, maybe you haven't experienced a death of late of a person, but still we experience death, right? Death to relationships, death to dreams, death to hopes. When that experience comes to us, we need comfort. And the prophetic word should bring comfort to us. Now, I believe that prophecy... Oh, that hasn't been advancing, has it? All right. Different levels of prophecy. Number one is what I'm going to call inspirational prophecies. This is when any believer speaks something that God has brought to their minds. That's why the scripture says you all may prophesy. Because you're men and women of the Word, you're men and women that have a relationship with the Father, and just let me mention, I have believed that 2019 is a year that the Holy Spirit wants to live through us. I have really felt that the Holy Spirit wants to be like a glove around us. He already lived. How many are saved and have the Holy Spirit living inside of us? If that's the case, he's trying to break through. All right, he wants to speak words through us. He wants us to be encouragers. He wants us to give edification, exhortation, and comfort. He's waiting for you and I to hear from him because he's love. He's just waiting for opportunities that we can love others through us, right? Now, we don't always feel like doing that, do we? Because we have those days, all right? As a matter of fact, we may be going through, how many would truthfully say God has been silent for a while? Come on, it's good to be honest, all right? Let me explain something to you. When the Holy Spirit is manifesting himself to us, those are times and seasons of blessing. I mean, isn't that wonderful? All right? But when it seems like the Holy Spirit is absent or silent, those are building times. Those are construction times. Those are the times that he wants us to draw near. He wants us to attune our ears more clearly, because he wants to tweak a few things. He still loves us, all right? And he will never leave us nor forsake us. But when we have one of those silent seasons, it seems like, where's God? Those are the seasons that he wants us to get closer, all right? Because he wants to make a few adjustments, all right? It's not that you're bad, all right? It's not that you've done some horrific thing. It's just, it's time to go to the next level. How many would like to go to the next level? Absolutely, me too. All right. Now, because we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, we can all give inspirational prophecy. Okay? Inspirational prophecy refreshes people. It brings encouragement to people. Inspirational prophecy releases the joy of the Lord, brings peace, it causes faith to arise. Inspirational prophecy should never offend anyone. Inspirational prophecy is not bringing correction. It's not bringing life direction. Inspirational prophecy is the joy of the Lord, and it's wonderful. It's really common for me when I come into a setting, or even when I go to a restaurant now, my mind is saying, Holy Spirit, is there someone here that you'd like to bless today? Is there someone here that I can give a word of encouragement to? It doesn't have to be a 5-minute prophecy. It's just, is there someone that really needs to hear from you, someone that I can express your love to. Because God's love, and He's always looking for someone to love. So we should be the expression of that, even when we don't feel like it. All right, I didn't think that you'd jump for joy, but that's all right. Now the second level, if I can, I'll try it. Let's go to number two. Is the gift of prophecy, okay? The gift of prophecy comes through individuals who regularly receive different types of revelation, all right? This is beyond inspirational prophecy. Now, revelatory prophecy can include at least these three. It can be one or it can be at all. Revelatory prophecy can bring words of correction. Revelatory prophecy can bring words of direction, that is something new. You should expect to hear revelatory prophecy when Brother Bill is here. All right? Oh, he'll inspire you, but you should expect some of this. He may give words of warning that may require repentance or a change of heart, change of lifestyle, change of attitude. Now, don't be afraid. I have known, this book, these are prophecies that I have received over the years. I went through and took a look. There's prophecies given by 12 individuals. They really didn't know me when they were speaking the word of the Lord. It's amazing how so many of the prophecies are similar. It kind of reminded me of someone. I guess it's probably been 15 years ago. I was still a senior pastor, and I remember him coming to me after one of these prophetic weekends, and he said, "Pastor, we got to do something different." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well." I've had three directive prophecies over the last 3 years, and they all have said the same thing. They're from different people, and I want to hear something different. You would think that they would understand that if these are direct prophecies and they're coming from God, God, who doesn't change, is kind of like, this is what I want you to do. And I'm going to keep saying, I mean, it's like a father, right? Keep saying the same thing with the same expectation, and he's not going to let you go any farther or go to a new thing until you've done the old thing. So those of you that have had directive prophecies, go back and take a look. I didn't think you'd jump for joy with that either. But see, I'm trying to prepare you for Brother Bill. If you have received a direct prophecy, a personal prophecy, you may not get anything different. And don't be surprised if it's the same thing. Okay. Now this level of a prophecy needs to come from individuals that are submitted, from individuals that are accountable. And when you receive a word of prophecy at this level, is something that you really need to run by your pastor as well. Now, and you should ask a question, okay, after you receive a word of prophecy at this level. Here's some questions that you should ask. What does this mean? What should I be doing? Because the word of the Lord always places demands upon us when it's revelatory. When it's inspirational, you could just enjoy it. Say, well, thank you, Father. I'm so glad that you love me. I'm so glad that you have a good plan for me. I am so glad that that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. All right? There's not a lot that you have to do when it's purely an inspirational prophecy. When it is a directive prophecy, when it's revelation, you have some responsibility with that. As a matter of fact, if you've ever opened that book called the Bible and read, you have some responsibilities now. And you can't ignore it. Well, I suppose you can try to ignore it, but there are consequences, kind of like Dad saying, I expect you to do this, and I expect you to do that, and don't you even think about this. Now, you have some responsibilities. Dad's always going to love you, but there can be consequences. Okay, moving along. The third level is what I'm calling a prophetic office. This is really the level of ministry that we're going to be receiving throughout next weekend. Friday and Saturday, Brother Bill has been recognized, he's been proven, and he's been commissioned. He is a submitted minister. He is submitted not only to his pastor, but when he comes here, he submits himself to our pastor as well, which is really significant. Okay, be very, very cautious when someone gives you a personal prophecy and you don't know the individual. Okay, those are things that you need to bring to your pastor, and let's talk about this. Okay, now, all right. I have received a personal prophecy now. What do I do? I always suggest that you write it out and that you meditate on it. And that's what this loose leaf represents, by the way. When I receive a personal prophecy, I write it out. For your safety and for the safety of the person giving the prophecy, we record them. We want no mistake of what was said or what wasn't said. Right? So if you receive a personal prophecy here under the covering of our pastor, you can request a copy of the prophecy. When you get it, write it down, word for word. Don't add to it or take away from it. All right? Why would you want to do that? Well, look, think about this. If this is a word that's coming from God, wouldn't it be good to be able to look at it, to meditate on it, to pray about it? All right, let's go on. Okay, then you need to review it with your pastor or some other matured spiritual oversight. Okay. Thirdly, don't act without confirmation and counsel from your spiritual authority. I mean, if the personal prophecy says, I see you changing location, and I see you going to a far land, that's not the time, okay, to put your house up for sale, all right? Even though you've been wanting to move, even though you've been begging to move, all right, that's the time to go to your spiritual authority and say, okay, let us reason together, all right? Moving along. All right, you need to keep your personal prophecy in perspective. That is, personal prophecies are not designed to replace God's written words in our life. All right? Now, let's go a little farther. Three things to remember about personal prophecy. First, personal prophecy is partial. This is not the complete word of the Lord for your life. 1 Corinthians 13:9 tells us, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. When Brother Bill prophesies to you, he's not going to give you, you know, the panoramic view of your life, right? He's going to give you a segment. He's going to give you a portion. That's something that you should add to what you have already accumulated for your life, right? So personal prophecy is partial. Joseph's prophetic dreams told him that he would rule over his brothers, but it didn't tell him about the Egyptian bondage, all right? All right, moving along, okay? Prophecy unfolds progressively. Acts chapter 7, verse 3, and he said to him, that he's talking to Abraham, go out from your land, from your kindred, into a land that I will show you. That's where it all started. But Abraham received at least 10 prophetic words from God in his life. A lot of things had to come about before he received the promise. What was his promise? Isaac. Yeah, yeah. And how much time was there in between?
A lot.
How many love waiting? Okay? All right, I didn't. All right. Now, look, we can become frustrated, discouraged, and impatient, all right, when we're waiting on the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, but hang on, all right? And thirdly, when we're looking at personal prophecy, there's a difference between conditional and unconditional prophecies. That is, unconditional prophecies include divine decrees, divine scripture. That is, God says that in the last days an antichrist will arise. That's not conditional. That's going to happen, all right? But personal prophecies, okay, like the prophecy that you may receive on Friday or Saturday, that may very well be conditional. What am I talking about? Well, even in Scripture, we are told often that if you will, God will. God says, if you will obey me, then I will do this, 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 and this. We like to skip to this, this, and this, and we miss the first part. All right? As a matter of fact, well, no, I can't. I can't go there. I don't have that much time. All right. And finally, we must be obedient. Oh, this is the fun part. Willing to do whatever the Lord desires to see his word come to pass in our lives, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Can I point out to you that when your pastor was praying for you at the beginning of the service, he was praying prophetically. When he was expressing God would have you do this and God would have you do that, that was a prophetic prayer. Okay? That was a revelatory prayer. That was not just an inspirational prophecy. He was expressing the heart of the Father for us as his children at that moment in time. Be very, very careful when God expresses himself to you. Don't push that off of, well, I kind of wish that he would get off of that and go on to something that I like. It's so popular being a pastor. All right, here we go. Now, four suggested steps in examining your prophecy. Well, first of all, what is the revelation? Jesus said in John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, remember that revelation, any kind of revelation, is just the beginning. You need to ask yourself, what did I hear? Okay? What does this mean for my life? If all that we do is receive a personal prophecy and we feel good for the moment and we say, you see my personal prophecy? All right? If that's the beginning and the end, all right, you've wasted something so precious. We need to stop and ask, what does this really mean for my life? Secondly, how should the prophecy be interpreted? Okay? Scripture tells us that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search it out. That is, okay, I've got a personal prophecy, but what does it really mean? Because sometimes God will speak to us in allegories or parables. Remember, Jesus did that kind of thing. So what does this mean? Okay? I mean, if you've had a word about an earthquake, does it mean a literal earthquake? Does it symbolize a spiritual shaking? Perhaps it points to a major crack developing in walls of stronghold in your life. That's why it's good to talk to your pastor. It's good to get some additional thought. And you know what? When when someone who cares about your soul partners with you in personal prophecy, they're praying for you because they feel a weight of responsibility. They don't want to steer you the wrong way. Okay? All right, so what's the revelation? How should it be interpreted? Okay, and finally, what's the application? What kind of effort should I be putting into it? In other words, you need to start thinking. Yeah, it's nice and it felt good and it's nice, you know, that your church family heard what was spoken over your life. And it, I mean, wasn't it wonderful and glorious? And of course, it will be encouraging and edifying. But what's the application? In other words, what must I do in order to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? That's why I'm suggesting those of you that have received a personal prophecy already, go back and look at it again. And after you have read it and you've meditated on it, you need to ask yourself, what should I be doing now in order to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Because again, personal prophecies are usually conditional. That means God has a responsibility if you take care of your responsibility. Oh, hallelujah, this is wonderful. All right. I'm going to stop there. I have other things that I could share, but I think that I have given you enough, and I've placed a responsibility on all of us, as a matter of fact. I have spent the last couple days going back over things that have been spoken in my life, asking Father, okay, help me now. I mean, at least half of the prophetic words express that I have an apostolic calling on my life. Does anybody really understand what that is? I've got books written by very knowledgeable, learned, scholarly people that have attempted to explain what the apostolic ministry is. I still don't understand it. This much I know. I've come to know the love of my Father. I've seen it expressed through the love of many of my church family. And I know that over the last year, he has required me to grow more, I think, than I have in the 10, 15 years prior. I also have a sensing that not just in my life, but this church family, we're at a crossroads. Crossroads are always decision points. I'm reminded of what Joshua said in the closing of his book. He said, as for me and my house, I choose to serve the Lord. We're surrounded in a world that's filled with distractions. If you're really serious about receiving personal prophecy, personal ministry, some direction through Brother Bill's ministry, I can't encourage you anymore than to say this would be a week of some fasting and prayer. Fasting means that you give up something that's significant to you. Traditionally, that's food. In this society, I'd say it's probably electronic. How hard would it be for you guys to turn off your phones after you get home from school and just be still and spend some quiet time with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. It's something that we should consider. Because we not only need to hear a word for our own lives, we need to hear a word for our church. And I know that Pastor Chris, that's one of the things that he always asks prophetic ministry. Would you please seek God for us as a church? As we live in a city of multiplied thousands of people, most of which will not make heaven unless something changes. Reality is we can watch the news and not be moved by the misery and difficulties that other people experience because we have become desensitized. We need help. We can continue to live our lives the way that we have and still, I guess, be called good people. But will we have fulfilled God's plan and purpose for our lives? The scripture talks about a group that will go through the fire of examination and their works will be burnt up, but their souls will be saved. That's a person that may make it to heaven, but there's no reward. I won't be that. Crossroads, decisions. I plan on spending some time, not because I'm a pastor, not because of anything other than I'm a child of God. And I care about you all, care about my bride, care about my kids, and even these little ones in the front. But if we keep doing the same things, we'll get the same results. Are you willing to join your hearts with my heart? And let's see what God would do this week. Amen.